Hey, welcome to the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. I am your host, Relinda, and I am here as your coach, your spiritual advisor, to guide you through your healing while dropping some spiritual wisdom Jesus nuggets. The Psalms of My Emotions comes from my testimony of overcoming emotional turmoil that ultimately led me to my purpose. And my prayers for this podcast is that it will lead you all that are listening to your purpose while gaining the tools in the podcast for your healing. Let us hop right into another episode and let the healing begin. Hey, everybody. Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Emotion Monday. I'm so excited for this Emotion Monday. Just being obedient to the Lord. You know, he wanted me to get on here and to do my testimony in full, just as a whole. This isn't anything new to me, right? But before I get started, I do have to do this intro. So welcome everyone to the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. It is Emotion Monday. Emotion is a play on words. E is electronic. Motion is movement. The purpose of me coming on here on Mondays is to push, is to inspire, is to encourage, whether it be through my testimony or with the nuggets, you know, I call them Jesus nuggets, as Jesus gives them to me, you know, in order to help someone, right? This Christian life, this Christian walk is not easy. And we all could use some instruction, right, from time to time. We need instruction. We need push. We need guidance. We need to know someone that is walking and also going through challenges in this Christian walk themselves. So what better and to someone to witness to that fact, and also will be able to give you the tools, you know, to deal with the dealings and the emotional ups and downs and roller coasters that come with that. So welcome, 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 and welcome to my podcast listeners. This does stream on many multiple podcast platforms. You know, it could be Apple, iHeartRadio, Pandora, it's so many. If you just search the Psalms of My Emotions podcast, I'm pretty sure I'll pop up. It is also available to listen on Amazon. Guys, I'm over 160 self-produced episodes. So you have plenty of nuggets to choose from. I've been doing this for a while now. And the thing about it is that these subjects have not repeated yet. I'm just like in awe about it because it's not me, right? This is by the power of God. And this is just because I seek him and I love him so much that he's willing to share pieces of his heart with me and also to share my testimony and the tryings, you know, of my faith, right? I don't mind sharing that with you guys. I believe we need a little bit more of that, you know, in the world. We have so much of other things other than people coming together, discussing, you know, what it's like to walk with God and, you know, how he's communicating with us, right? So this is basically what this platform is. This is what the Psalms of My Emotions is. The Psalms of My Emotions is really just to navigate you through the dealings, the emotional ups and downs, the roller coasters of the dealings of God, which I have a testimony of it, which is why we are all here tonight. Just to forewarn you, I'm going to sit here for a while, right? Not literally sitting down, but I am sitting down on the floor. But literally, I'm going to sit here because my testimony is the primary reason why there is a Psalms of My Emotions, right? There's a Psalm of My Emotions ministry aspect. There's a Psalms of My Emotions podcast, which is the avenue of ministry that he wants this to stream through, right? He just wants me to get on here and just minister to that. And I wrote a book. It's still out there. I am updating it, right? I'm revising it a little bit, not in content, but just in, you know, your first book. Sometimes you make a little mistakes, you know, that you do. So if you do know, there are things I have to perfect. You know, there's a new cover. I just have to put everything together and then that will be out reissued. So I will let you guys know when that is reissued. But regardless, the original is still selling, is still delivering. It is still healing people, right? And I think I've gave the testimony where I've read the book before, you know, read it, just reading it and on my own. And I get something new out of it every time, right? And I know, I always say that I didn't write this book. God wrote this book, right? God wrote this book. He wrote it. I'm just here and he's using me as his tool. I didn't want it to look like that. It's supposed to be a ticker and end up being a banner. Let me update this really quick. But yeah, so he's used me as his tool. He used my little fingers. I'm rewriting this so it can scroll so everyone would know what I'm talking about while I am talking. How I was delivered from the Jezebel spirit. That's why we're here tonight, right? Just want to have the scrolling on the bottom. Okay. So, you know, the book is still delivering. It's still healing. I even get things from it, but I just wanted to sit here because it's funny how when you do get delivered from stuff, God will take me time to time and I'll pull something back always from the deliverance and why I had to be delivered, right? And let me tell you, this Jezebel spirit, it's so deceptive. It's sneaky, right? It is so, it creeps in. It's subtle. And to freely say, you know, that I was delivered from this, you know, is a shock to many because there are a lot of people that just sees me as, you know, this nice natured person, which I definitely am. But that wasn't the case, you know, when I was, especially in my marriage. Before then, it's like the spirit was dormant, right? It was dormant in me. So like I said, I'm going to sit here for a while because this testimony is, it takes some plowing, you know, for you to understand. And because I want to expose this spirit, right? Because it's subtle. And when people think about when someone is engaged in witchcraft or when someone is practicing witchcraft or when someone is a witch, right? We just think that it's so obvious that everybody knows and everybody can pinpoint it when it confronts you, when you're appointed by it, right? I just have to make sure this microphone is unplug and redo some stuff. But everyone thinks that it's easily detected. You will know, right? Everyone thinks that you will know when you are operating in witchcraft. You will know automatically when you're a witch. But the thing is, what the devil does is like he loves to plant seeds, right? And you could be operating in something, especially this spirit. You could be operating in something and can be unaware of what you are operating in it in, right? So let me start from the beginning. So this is, you know, I'm going to start with the testimony, but I can't do a disservice. This is going to be like a teaching slash, you know, a teaching slash testimony, right? So what I'm going to do is, now how did this camera get so blurry all of a sudden? I'm pretty sure it'll straighten up. That I have to kind of teach in the beginning. So the thing about this, it starts from the beginning. And a lot of times when we get delivered, right, we don't understand that it starts from the root. It starts from something in the beginning, right? And it's a thing in our bloodline, right? I want to start that from the beginning. And the thing that I discovered when God was taking me back is that there are so many doorways
that we open, right? As we live life, as we go through life, that we don't know that could welcome, right? The activation of certain spirits. And, you know, I'll explain that. You know, what happened in my life was just not knowing, right? That there were doorways, that there were things, you know, even and as I was growing up and I was raised, that there were activations of doorways that were being opened from something that was in our bloodline. And I want to let you know that, you know, everyone's talking about this year being the year of exposure, right? They're just saying like, you know, God is exposing, you know, we see a lot of corrupt leaders. We see a lot of things just going on in the world. And everybody's like, yeah, you know, this is exposure. This is the year of exposure. But God showed me another thing and kind of ministered to me that, yes, it is. And he is exposing some things. But the thing, the main thing that he is exposing, it's the thing that is operating in us, right? The thing that he's exposing, because God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God of always trying to piece together people, right, to himself, right? He always wants us back with him. If we've strayed so far away, because God doesn't move, but when we stray so far away, he loves to pull us back in. So God is a God of reconciliation. So with that being said, he wants to expose things in our bloodline so that we know what we are subject to, right? To know what the enemy will use to get us sucked in into certain things. So there has been an exposure of your bloodline. If anyone has been dealing with family things in this season, right? Or noticing family cycles, family trends, it's because you're not seeing that by happenstance. You're seeing that on purpose, right? You're seeing that for a reason. You're seeing it because God is exposing the bloodline. God not only wants you to see the blessings that are in your bloodline, he also wants you to see the curses in your bloodline, right? I told y'all this is heavy tonight. He explained to me, he wants to expose, you know, not just the blessings that and the promises and things that God has promised your bloodline, but he also wants to expose the curses and things that your ancestors have dabbled in, right? He wants you to see that because a lot of us in this hour are generational curse breakers. A lot of us in this hour are supposed to stop with us. Amen. Yes, it makes sense. It's supposed to stop with us. So there is a lot of generational exposure. So, you know, we can't get so wrapped up on what's going on in the media, what's going on with other people, president, celebrities, all of these people getting exposed. We better be looking at what God is showing us, what has been running through our blood. Because if we don't recognize what is running through our blood, right? It is causing and attracting evil things, right? And then we're opening up these gates that we don't know that we're opening in something that has been laying dormant in our bloodline. So I just wanted to start off with that. So, you know, in the beginning, right? Me as a child, I was really quiet, right? I'm really quiet, creative. I was always thinking about building, you know, doing things, writing, just real artistic, right? Wanted to learn how to do instruments and everything. So my mind was always running. But the thing I noticed in hindsight, because I can remember things since I was 5 years old, right? I was always inquisitive. I always wanted to know. I asked questions, but I was also emotional, right? I was an emotional child. You know how a lot of people say when they do things, they get whoopings. Like I said, I wasn't really in trouble too much. So I could probably count on one hand how many times I got whoopings when I was little up until, you know, I was a teenager. What hurt me the most were just if I got scolded or if I got yelled at. You know, I didn't like being yelled at, you know, so it would break me all the way down. I did not like getting yelled at. Just very emotional and kind of didn't know what to do with it, right? Middle child, You know, so, you know, my sister always be, me and her be talking about this sometimes, you know, felt a little invisible. You know, I never was that middle child that did things bad to get attention. I was that middle child that felt like as long as I stay out the way or I do things how I'm supposed to do, you know, maybe I would get recognized for doing good things, you know. So then, you know, a single household, you know, my mom, you know, raised us, you know, my dad would be in and out. And so that's strike number one, right, that I want to point out is that, you know, we normalize single parenthood as it being normal, right? Even though things happen, incidents happen, you know, that cause someone to raise children by themselves, but you have to know that that is not the plan of God, right? It leaves a breach in the plan, right? When someone has to raise a child on their own, it creates a breach in the covenant, right? It creates a breach because God never created man and woman to, you know, to just have children and just have that, you know, someone raise it all on their own, right? He is always has to be inclusion of some sort of, it has to be two parents because the man has their job and the women have their job, right? So then when you take away either the mom or the dad and they're raising the children by themselves, it gives room for the enemy to come in because now all of the burden of child rearing and all of that lays on one person, which means that something that needs to be cultivated in the child goes lacking, right? So for me being a child, and like I said, I needed affirmation. I needed someone to show me and tell me who I was. But, you know, when your parents are just, you know, are in survival mode, right? Which they have to be because they're pushed in that corner to be, you know, it leaves a lack of something that the child needs, right? The child needs nurturing. The child needs something, right? So that was me as a child. Grew up, you know, my whole thing in life was to just have a family, right? Have a family, be married. Never really considered maybe what I wanted to be and grow up. I wanted to be a lot of things, you know. By the time I got done with high school, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I love animals very much. It was a time I wanted to be a archaeologist because I was always nosy, just trying to, you know, find things. And I've always said, I'm going to go to Egypt and I'm going to find the, you know, rest of the tombs or whatever. And then I wanted to be, you know, just all of these things that would require you to think, artists, play instruments. I wanted to do all of that. So as I grew up, you know, I just kept honing in and focusing in on marriage. Like it got to a point where I thought marriage would be the solution, right? In high school or whatever, I wasn't even really a dater, right? I didn't date a lot of people, you know, growing up. And it's because I was just always secretly just wanting them to be like, that's it. That's the husband, right? That was going to be it. I just want to be married, have children. And that's it. That was it to life for me. It was just, I just wanted to get married and have children. So the thing is that I would want it so bad that I would accept anything, right? I would accept anything. And not that these people were bad. It's just that I would really settle. And it came from what I thought about myself, self-esteem, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, all of that. And by the time I was 20, and I'm fast tracking because I don't want to say the whole thing, but you have to know where this stems from, right? Because everyone thinks that when someone has a darkness or a dark spirit going on, that it was something that they know about or something that just they decided to do. And I'm telling you, you know, how it creeps up and how it comes about. So I think I was maybe 20. I met someone and, you know, clicked with them really well. 2021, clicked with them really well, became friends, you know, and then we got together. And then, you know, just kind of really, really was pushing through marriage. But I noticed in the courting stage that I mean, that irritation and the emotionalism that I was talking about when I was younger really was starting to just come out. Like, I couldn't control, you know, my emotions. I couldn't control, you know, my anger. And it was the first time that I saw it came out in this relationship, which, you know, which was my who I got married to. And it would come up and I'm just like, why do I feel so irritated and feel like I have to maintain control? Right. So, you know, as the months and stuff went by, you know, agreed to just, you know, live together, you know, and everything. And it just seemed to get worse. Attitude got worse, you know, emotional, just emotions just everywhere. Right. Trying to control the environment that I ended up controlling and, you know, kind of, no, controlling and manipulating him, right? So I'm just sitting there just, you know, pushing for marriage and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm in controlling the whole gamut, right? How we're going to do our money, how we're going to get married, when we are and what we're going to move into and what job you going to work at. And I mean, it was horrible, right? And then even to the point when he did propose, right, I kind of scoffed at it because that's not how I wanted it to be, right? I scoffed at it, laughed, right? And that kind of broke him down a little bit, you know, and then, I mean, I did accept it, but it broke him down a little bit, kind of tore away at his ego, you know, just kind of degraded him, you know? And so I accepted it, but I had all these illustrious plans for my wedding and all of that. And then I asked, I think, my father, right, for just to help with the wedding dress. And it broke me down because I really never depended on him for a lot of things, you know. So when the time that I built up this expectation that he would, you know, that, yeah, emasculated him. Yeah, I did. The time where I expected, right, something from him for him to deliver, because now I'm just putting the weight of him being my father, right? The provider or something, you know, for him, for me, it didn't happen, right? You know, he didn't have any money. I built up expectations for that. So when he said he didn't, it's like it broke me, right? And it wasn't only that, it was just a lot of things that was, I think, it seemed everything was spiraling out of control. And mind you, I was just telling you guys how I just started to build this thing with control, right? Everything had to go the way how I wanted it to go. Everything had to be built the way I wanted it to be built up. If it didn't go my way, it was the end of the world. And I would do any and everything that I could to make sure that it went the way that I wanted it to go. So everything just started to like feel like it was crashing down around me, you know. Didn't have enough money for the wedding that I wanted. Didn't have enough money to get, you know, the dress, or, you know, all of it just started and had already jumped the gun and put a deposit on a haul, right? So everything fell through. I couldn't have it, couldn't get my deposit back. And I went into a depression. And I went into a depression that kind of that changed me. And even through that depression, it's like it seemed like everything broke because I couldn't have control. Everything seemed like it was spiraling out of control. And so I was never the same after that. So eventually I still went ahead and still was, you know, engaged and everything. And then, you know, nothing was the same. And I still treated him bad. So I'm just like, you know, we're going to get out of this little apartment, because we were like on a studio apartment or something. We're going to get out of here and this and this and that. This is what we're going to do. So kind of forcing him in that space to move and things, and that went okay. But it's like it got worse, right? So, you know, I'm fast forwarding a lot, you know, just to kind of get to you guys the lesson of this and where Jezebel, you know, popped up and when I actually detected her, right? So, you know, I just was just really angry and felt out of control. I would say throughout when we got married, right? That's where it kind of like rose again. And I'll tell you guys, when a lot of people know this, some people know the story, or the people that have read the book or been on here, and I explain bits and pieces. But then it came time for us to get married. And like I said, you know, things were going a little better. you know, this time. And what happened was, I remember getting my nails done and everything. And I remember I just was crying like that whole day. It was like the day of the wedding, crying that whole day and just like not knowing what was wrong. And, you know, just feeling this pressure, just really just feeling, like I said, out of control. And I remember I just felt nauseated the whole day. And I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, not throwing up at all, but felt really nauseated. But there are times where I felt like I had to, right? So then it came to coming to the aisle. And, you know, I've said this story plenty of times, but going to the aisle and walking down the aisle. And, you know, like I said, everyone was happy, but I was just like weirded out and in this weird element because it didn't feel like a celebration to me. It didn't feel like a happy moment to me. It felt like I was going to a funeral. Right. It felt like I'm like, why do I feel like I'm dying? Right. Why do I feel like I'm falling apart? Like I'm losing control. Right. So then I got to the aisle, said the vows and everything. And I'm just like nervous. Right. So some people just like, oh, this cold feet. Nah, that was Jezebel rising up, because you guys got to know about God and covenants. Right. God and the covenant of marriage. And when they tell you, see, I can talk about this stuff in hindsight. When they tell you about the seriousness of marriage, right? People see a lot of people doing it. People see a lot of people getting married, but you don't understand how big of a covenant, you know, how serious it is to go into the institution, the God institution of marriage. Right? It is a holy covenant. So whatever is not like God is going to expose itself within that covenant. I tell people all the time, and I think I got this from Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, that if you want your demons revealed, get married. Right? They're going to show up because it is a holy covenant. It's a holy covenant. So it's not strange that when I got married, you know, and especially what happened in that moment, that all of these things started to rise up within me, right? The control got worse and, you know, the manipulation got worse, right? All of this, the anger, everything started to get worse, right? And so, you know, all of that was coming up, not knowing. I was out of, you know, I grew up in church up until I was 11, but from 11 to 30 there, you know, I wasn't in church, which is a blessing in disguise to me because I was able to grow and know a relationship with God and through that journey in an organic way, right? And it made sense when I did finally arrive, you know, to a church. All that I went through, it made sense. And to know that he had my back the whole time, to know that he was, you know, guiding me the whole time. And I probably skipped some steps. I think I did. So let me rewind. So I'm at the altar, but let me rewind during college years, right? Because this is going to make sense when I say, and even in high school and things. So looking back, I can see how the enemy had plans for me, right? I can tell the enemy had plans for me in hindsight. Then I didn't know. You have to know when there is something in your bloodline pulling at you, you have to be mindful of what you're attracted to, right? What is pulling themselves towards you, right? So when I was in high school, you know, I would watch a lot of scary movies, but I would also watch a lot of movies that had a lot of witchcraft stuff in it. I would watch a lot of movies that had a lot of, like, there was a couple movies, what is it? Teen Witch, Craft, you know, where they were doing all of that stuff, right? They were doing all of that witchcraft stuff. So that was something that was appealing to me. Didn't know why. But that was something that was appealing to me, and it would always kind of pull me or drew my interest. And like I said, I remember a time where it was just like it was always blocked. Things that I think the devil wanted me to open gates with, right? was telling my mom earlier about a time where I had, I don't know, it was a substitute teacher in my high school, and she kind of stayed there for a while, but she was reading palms, right? She was reading palms in her classroom. And I'm just like, okay, I desperately wanted my palm read. I'm like, I'm gonna go. You know, I don't even think I had a class with her, but I desperately wanted my palm to be read. So I would try to, but for some reason, it was always getting blocked, right? It was always getting blocked. So I didn't get my palm read. And then there were a time I remember my friend, she had this Ouija board, right? And I remember I was going to go to her house and, you know, with her sisters and things, we're going to do this Ouija board. And her, and before we even, the plans got to rolling, it got to a point where, well, she called me and she was like, well, we can't do, you know, the Ouija board anymore because my mom, you know, took it, put holy water on it and, you know, and threw it out or whatever. She said, so we can't do that. So I'm like, oh, well, okay. But me just looking at these events, right, that got blocked all this time, right? All of these things that got blocked, you know, was for a reason because there was something in my bloodline that was calling out to that, right? When I tell you the enemy is so cunning, he's so cunning. And then when I was in college, wanted to be a part of a sorority, right? I'm not even going to go into that because there are many, 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 many testimonies on YouTube. I mean, many about denouncing, right, from the sororities and fraternities, right? All across the board. It's not just, you know, Black fraternities and sororities, but all across the board, people are denouncing it. I never got that far, but almost got that far, but I didn't because God blocked it. It was like, it didn't matter. And it's a secret society, right? This is all secret. This is all, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get too much into it because there, you can see the many testimonies of those that have said, you know, what happened in those secret societies and things. But all I know is that was one that was pulling at me and I thought it was okay, you know, but it was always something. My either I didn't have, there wasn't one on my campus, or I wasn't able to transfer to the school that actually had it, right? That was actually one of the reasons why I almost wanted to transfer, was to join, you know, a sorority. And then that didn't happen. Something happened where I stayed. And then there was one that opened in our campus, but then my grade point average was off. And when I mean off, it wasn't all the way off. It was like by a point. So it was no way, right, that I would be able to actually go all the way through it. So like I said, it was already pulling on me because I'm going to tell you, you know, the enemy had plans for me to get into media, get into, you know, radio, because I graduated with a radio television production degree, right? So I know media, I know, you know, radio production, I know television production, I know, you know, just everything with, you know, having a floor plan, having a, you know, plan for the day, you know, it's not coming into my mind. You have to have a plan for your production, right? I knew how to do those. So then, you know, the enemy wanted me to go right into media. And there were a time I turned down an internship, right? I didn't even go forward. I mean, it's a very well-known company that I had an internship with in college that I had to turn down. So imagine if I would have joined the sorority, went to that network, right? I mean, he had plans to shoot me up. You don't understand. This is in hindsight, after my deliverance and where I'm at, God was showing and revealing to me the plans of the enemy for my life, trying to shoot me off early so I wouldn't know, and so fast that my head spin, that I wouldn't know where I was at, right? He wanted me to be so influential because I have a way with words. That's that thing with that manipulation control. I had a way with words that I can get someone to believe anything, right? That was what I had in me, and the enemy wanted to use that. And that was ever since I was in high school, right? And going into college, like I said, you know, he wanted to throw, and he told, and I remember when I got delivered, you know, God telling me, yeah, the enemy had some plans for you, right? In your dark place. He wanted you to rise up. He wanted to take you all the way to the top and wanted you to manipulate women. He wanted you to manipulate them into how to, on how to manipulate men and how to have all of these. You guys know that with these, some of these women things or whatever, or them empowering you to do certain things, you know, it's just sometimes some of it, if you're not careful, it's darkness, right? They're teaching you how to be emasculating. They're teaching you how to be manipulative. They're teaching you how to be controlling. And sometimes with so much women empowerment, it turns evil. It turns dark, right? So we have to be careful. But he wanted me to shoot me up there to lead people away from God, right? He wanted me to lead people away from God by telling them how to manipulate, how to be controlling in the disguise of being an independent woman, right? He wanted me to write books, you know, get into production and movies and things like that, writing scripts, right? And I mean, he would have shot me up fast. So I didn't even know why I had to turn down that internship, you know, but I did. And now looking in hindsight, I know why. But anyways, okay, I had to give you guys that tidbit to know. And I just want to warn you guys that, you know, when your dark, the darkness that you're in, or if you're in any of this stuff, you know, the enemy does have plans. When God has a plan, the enemy has a plan too. And usually it's the perversion of the plan that God has for you. That's why we have to be careful. Sometimes all the time, what the devil has for you, you could tell it's always a perversion. So if you are not locked into God, something that looks like it's from God could very well be from the devil. Whatever pathway, it could look like it's coming from God, but it's the devil. It's the pathway. It's like he knows how to detour you, to detour you right from that path by giving you something quick, fast. He knows how to do it. And if you, that's the importance of healing, right? You got to heal. You got to heal, because that's an open door of darkness that the devil loves to use and play on to get you to go past the plans of God, to get you to go past and going forward faster than God wants you to, right? Right? Because he knows what we like. He knows what we like. He knows us. And then if you are hurt, or if you are in that state of, and that's what he wanted to use. You know, the enemy wanted to use my pain. He wanted to use my hurt and pervert it, pervert me into a pathway that will probably send me to hell, right? Because I'm operating in witchcraft, not knowing that it's witchcraft, right? Because anytime that you bend the will of God is witchcraft. You're a witch, right? Sometimes we like to package it in this nice, pretty bow. But anything that bends, you know, everybody got their measures. You know, there's different kind of acts of witchcraft, right? But witchcraft is witchcraft. God had never in the Bible differentiated what witchcraft was kind of evil and what witchcraft was major evil. All of it is evil and an abomination in God's eyes, because you're diverting from his will. You're twisting his will around. And that's why we have to ask God what he wants and what he wants to do with our life. Because when we try to go our own way and try to twist it and turn it so many times to go our own way, we don't know that we're practicing witchcraft. It's manipulation, right? So then I went to the part where I was married. Let me land back there. And like I said, in hindsight, looking back, the times where I told you guys that I was feeling nauseated and I wanted to throw up and I couldn't before I got down the aisle, God revealed to me that was actually him, even then, me entering to this holy covenant was actually me, him trying to deliver me even then, right? Like, you can't be with this darkness or with this unholiness into this covenant, because whether you know it or not, when you get married, regardless if you don't believe in God or not, you are already inviting God into the situation, right? It don't matter. That's a holy God ordained covenant. So when you get married, when you come together, you know, and go walk down that aisle, all of that, if you participate in that, all of that is a symbolism of a Christ coming for his church, right? So whether you say you don't believe in God, but you having a wedding, yes, you do, because you're walking into that covenant. You're walking into that God ordained act. And so what that means is you're inviting him in. And what you're doing is inviting him to clean you up. You're inviting him to clean, you know, you up, your husband up. You're inviting him to take lordship over that household. So when things start to go awry and get messed up, it's because God holiness can't stand up on stand in that institution. So it's always going to be that friction. If you are not up under, you're not, well, I want to say submissive to the will of God. It's always going to be that tussle and all of that in marriage. If you're not submitting, if the husband is not submitting, if you're not submitting, it's always going to be that friction because this is operating under a holy covenant. So after that, things just got worse. We were married for maybe about 3 years, three or four years. And things just got worse. We moved into a house. So sometimes you think, well, maybe we need something better, you know, moved into a house. And I kid you not, a month of us being in the house, it was over, right? It was a divorce. He left, you know, me hanging on because I know the importance of marriage. I was willing to fight through it, fight for it. You know, that was me. And when he let go, you know, he was just saying, I don't believe in God anymore, right? Or I don't think I ever did. So the thing about God is that, you know, of course he doesn't believe in divorce, but in that moment he gave me an out, right? I remember I was feeling guilty for so long about it. And he pointed out, he says, I can't fault you for this as far as the divorce, he said, because I gave you a way of escape. He said, because, you know, and he showed me in the Bible where he says it's not that if they leave, right? And if they are unbeliever, it's okay. It's a clean break. So that was a burden that was lifted off of me. But anyways, okay, fast forward all of that. I'm just showing you how Jezebel showed up and I didn't know Jezebel was there, right? So after that was over, I still felt the same way, right? Yes. All right. That's so good. This was something Aisha always questioned. Yep. That's it. Because the thing that got me to get married and to manipulate myself into marriage, because I idolized it so much, was that I didn't want to be by myself. I didn't know how to deal with my emotions. I didn't know how to deal with myself, right? So my thing was, I want to get married so I can have someone to fix me. I needed someone to make me whole. I felt like a person would help me feel better about myself, would complete my life. And, you know, to stop me from being lonely, to stop me from feeling this hole in my heart, right? To stop me from feeling like I'm less than, to stop me from feeling incomplete, right? That was my whole motivation of getting married and why I wanted it so bad, was that I felt like this was the answer, this was the end all, and I worshiped it, right? I had an idol. That's an open door for Jezebel to be activated. I had an idol because we know or we don't know, Jezebel worshiped the god of Baal, right? She had idol worship in her life, right? So me worshiping, you know, all it took was an idol for Jezebel to show up. It took, you know, me idolizing marriage for Jezebel to show up that was already dormant there from something that I don't know what was happening in my bloodline for it to show up, right? Let's see. She wondered about divorce and just that biblical view on it, wondering about the scripture that kind of spoke to Marion again after it. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, what I knew and took from, like I said, he was an unbeliever. I mean, didn't believe at all. You know, at one time I thought, you know, he did. But like I said, I wasn't in church at all. But then that wasn't a priority, right? And me choosing to be married. I didn't even think about it. I didn't think like, oh, you know, he had to believe in God. My criteria was that he just had to be a good guy, right? He had to be a good guy and we'll work out the rest later. And no, you don't do that, right? So I thought that was a criteria. Like I said, I idolized marriage because I thought it was going to fix me. I thought it was going to heal me. I thought it was going to heal this. I don't know. It was like this emptiness that I will always feel. And what that emptiness was lack of purpose. Purpose was pulling on me while I was asking for marriage, right? While I was asking for marriage, it was pulling on me. So I thought I had this plugged up. Let me see. I think my computer trying to go out. I thought I had this plugged up. Hold on, guys. Okay, I'm back. So, you know, that was that door that was open. But like in the beginning, like I said, it was just all of that was going on with the broken family, right? That was one door. And then it was the idolization that opened up another door, right? For whatever was going on in my bloodline or whatever was, that's how Jezebel rose up. So like I said, the marriage, it just was, you know, over and done like really quick. And then what happened was after that moved out and everything, I was left with myself. It's like I did a total, you know, 360, you know, back to where I started, back to when I was 21, wanting marriage to heal me. So now I'm doing a whole circle around and I'm back. See, God got a way of bringing you back to the beginning, right? That's a shame. It took me 9 years or 10 years, you know, from the start of our relationship to the end of it, ending in divorce, to come back to the space where God was pulling at me in the first place, right? So then he's like, okay, now you done did what you wanted to do. You done manipulated yourself into a marriage. Now, can I have you? Can I have your attention now? Right? He's like, you weren't absent. You see that marriage didn't even cure what was going on with you. What you were pulling for was me. What you wanted was me. And you didn't know. That emptiness that you are feeling is that absent of purpose. And he's like, and you started this because you stood and asked me, you know, there has to be more to life than this. And I said, I did. So when you ask, that's a dangerous question. When you go and ask God, or, you know, when life just seems to be a certain way, God, there has to be more to life than this. Get ready for a rat. I'm telling you, because he's going to show you. And how he's going to show you is crush you, right? He's going to crush you so he can build you up. He's not going to crush you to leave you there. He's going to crush you to build you back up. So once you discover that the life that you manipulated, that you controlled, that you then built with your own strength, that it's not worth it anymore, or it's not working, he waits for you to get to ground zero so that he can build you up like you're supposed to. He said, now I'm thinking, did I say you made up in your own way? Like, you know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. You know, show me your way. That's basically what I asked. And I remember I was standing right in front of my window and I said, you know, because I was unhappy. I was married. I got a house. You know, we were doing okay. And I'm just like, God, but it was this longing still. All through that, it was this longing still. And I'm just like, God, it got to be more to life than this. And like I said, when I tell you, he wrecked my world. He wrecked it to like, there was nothing left. I don't even think I had broken pieces to live off of. I was just here. I was just here. I'm just like, Lord, this is a rad. And I mean, that rad was 2 years strong, right? Broke, lights cut off, had to sell blood for money. I mean, so down, barely paying bills, you know, had to file bankruptcy. Terrible. You know, getting skinny, lost a lot of weight because I couldn't afford food, right? It was a lot, right? Look, forcibly going on a diet because I couldn't afford, you know, really to eat, basically. So after them 2 years, I call it the wilderness. Listen here. I called it the wilderness. And after them 2 years, and like I said, I had went back to church shortly after my divorce. I think a year later, this was the other dark year. After I got divorced, I was like, you know, God, give me permission to do what I want to do, right? I'm like, let me go and live out there and be out there in the world like everybody else did. I ain't never had freedom, right? I'm telling God this. I'm being honest. Telling God this. I ain't never had freedom. Let me be out there, right? Let me be a hot girl, you know, let me be out there. So, girl, I didn't last 9 months. I think I didn't even give it a whole year. 9 months, I was tired. You know, I was tired just after being in situationships with a couple people. I was done. I said, oh, no, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. I am not a hot girl. I don't want a hot girl summer. I'm done. All it took was one and, you know, a couple situationships, and it was not for me. You know, because that's not me. But my thing was just, God, let me live. Let me do this. And I did, and I didn't last but 9 months. And that was enough for me. Right? I want to turn over and God. So then, I could testify and said I didn't have that season, and it wasn't too long. And yeah, I would never go back. And then after that, God had me just in this space. Right. And then that's where the 2 years started. I went back to church. And I remember before I went to church, God was like, everything that you need is at this church. And I'm like, everything. He's like, everything that you need. I went there. It was an emotional experience for me. Right. When I joined the church, it wasn't an emotional experience. I already had made up my mind because God had been talking to me every day for a week to go up there. He said, even if you have to go there by yourself, even if you have to join that church alone, you have to do it. So I went and did it, joined the church. And like I said, I was up there smiling. I remembered the order of a church when I was younger. So when I went up there, I was smiling. I knew it. Okay, I joined. And then it took you back to, you know, to Terry for the Holy Ghost. And I got the Holy Ghost like that. Like, literally, I don't even think it was 5 minutes. Because my spirit was ready to receive him, right? Because he had been talking to me and I was ready to get what he had to offer. So after I got filled with the spirit, this is where God would challenge me on some things, right? So a lot of things became hard even while serving. Like I said, I was going through that stuff financially. I was serving. I was a leader. And it just seemed like things were just always challenging me, but it was actually molding me. And I'm thinking like, okay, but I was still withdrawn. I was kind of to myself, not interacting, but I didn't realize that I was in a depression. Yeah, it seems like the fight begins. It's like I was in a depression and I didn't know I was still in a depression. Like I was kind of just standoffish. A lot of people thought something was wrong with me, you know, whatever. I was just to myself. I had a lot going on. Lot to myself, and I was serving. Like I said, I was faithful. And then God would just speak to me about what to do in the house. And, you know, he told me that, you know, I'm called, right? You know, you're called to preach. You know, that was after even just saying to be an intercessor and everything. He's just like, you called to preach. You're an evangelist. And I'm like, oh, Lord. So I'm fasting on my own. Listen, this is even before I went into, you know, my pastor's office and told him, you know, that I'm called. You know, I just made sure I went on. I think I went on a 2-month fast of praying and seeking God. And that's what he told me, you know, yeah, you're called, you're an evangelist. So then I went to my pastor's office, told him I was called. And he was like, okay, you know, you got to go back, you know, for a month, or, you know, take 30 days, you know, go on a fast. I said, that's cool. I want to see what else God got to say. So then, you know, wait, I didn't fast forward. When I tell you, when I say this testimony is long, it's lengthy, it's a little lengthy, but let me rewind back. There was one of our prophetic services that we had, and one of the prophets prophesied over me. And like I said, I'm serving, I'm doing okay, I'm going through my things, but he's telling me I have a foul spirit. And I was like, I didn't get mad at the prophet. And he wasn't a lying prophet. You know, he just wasn't just saying anything. I believed him because he was just so on with everybody else. But when he got to me, I got a foul spirit. What is going on? And so I remember wasn't mad at him. I knew where to go. I went to God. You know, I couldn't wait to get home because I had it was in the space of worship every night. Like, I ran to worship. And so when I went to him, or went to God, I said, God, what is he talking about? What is this foul, dark spirit he's saying that I have, right? And so he's like, I'm like, what is the spirit that I got? What is this foul spirit that he keeps saying I got? So I'm praying, I'm asking. And like I said, that's when he was telling me I was called. And I was like, okay, you know. And like I said, I went to my pastor's office and told him, after I had went on a 2-month consecration, 2-month fast, went, and he told me to go back. And so I'm like, good. You know, I want to know what else God wants to say to me. Woo, here it come. So God told me, he said, okay. I mean, the very last day of the fast, he said, to come into agreement with this, you got to come out of an agreement with her. And I'm like, oh, right? Because, you know, I've been asking for a year about what God meant about me having this dark and this foul spirit. What are you talking about? He said, to come in agreement with this call, you gotta come out of agreement with her. And I'm like, her? And I'm like, God, what are you talking about? So this is how God gets you. He starts asking questions, right? He starts asking questions. So then God asks me, why are you so defensive? I'm defensive. And I'm asking, and then a flood of like memories, a flood of pictures started to just go through my mind, and I broke down, right? I felt like I was exposed to myself. I said, Lord, woo, forgive me, right? And he told me, he's like, you know, you still got that. He said, you got that controlling spirit. You Jezebel, you are still in agreement with her. I can't let you get connected with that, because you're going to turn into something, even operating in that call. See, the devil. And so, you know, when you're a part of something, he loves to pervert something, right? He will want you to walk into that space still being broken. And that's why we have to be careful, you know, even answering the call of God. You know, healing is the most important thing that you can do when you're answering the call of God, right? When you're answering to what he wants you to do. Healing, you know, we often try to push it to the side like it doesn't matter, right? Healing is the major component, right? And why? How you can operate in your call, and how you can operate in where he has placed you in the way that he wants you to, because the devil can still have his way. Even though you are in a call, you can pervert that call by not being healed, right? You can pervert your call by not being healed. So we have to be careful. So deliverance happened right then. All of this happened at home, mind you. Most of my deliverance happened at home. So this happened at home. And when I tell you, after that happened, and most of it was tears, right? It was tears. I sat in silence for such a long time. And then after that, I'm like, okay, God, you've exposed me to myself. Now, what do I do? And it's like he started to heal my heart, right? He took me back to the places where I was hurt and wounded. He took me to the places where, you know, people hurt me in a deep way that I didn't know that I was so deeply hurt, right? He took me back there. And then eventually, you know, it didn't happen immediately. After I operated and working towards my call, I would say 2 years later, I was able to let go a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness, right? I was able to let a lot of that go. And it's funny because throughout me even starting to go back into church, strangers, people would come up to me and tell me, let it go. And I would get frustrated because I'm like, let what go? What do I have to let go, right? And it was unforgiveness and bitterness because that's what was keeping Jezebel active, right? It's dangerous to be in a place where you have to submit, right? And have that spirit on you, that controlling and that manipulative spirit on you. And that's why I'm so sensitive to it. I can smell a manipulative, controlling person a mile away because I was delivered from it. Right? I can smell Queen Jezzy from a mile away because I'm delivered from it. You know, when you're touched by darkness, you know, you're going to be sensitive to it. You're going to be sensitive to things of darkness because you've been brushed with it. Right? So anyways, like I said, after that, God broke me down for bitterness, forgiveness, broke depression off, and was showing me, you know, how I was disappointed. It all started from when I was younger, right? He showed me where it entered in. He showed me where it started. He's like, because it all came from you not, you know, not receiving the love or admiration or things that you needed, right? To be that emotional stable person. So after that, answered the call or whatever, and then I would notice day by day, and as I walked in obedience into what God's called me to, which is to do this Psalms of my emotions, because emotional health is so important. I would put that right up there, you know, like I said, with mental health. Emotional health is so important. People just think that healing, you could put it on the back burner or it's okay just to be hurt. No, it's going to cause a blockage in your calling, a blockage into your pathway. And if you are not careful, that's demonic spirit love for you to be hurt so that they can enter in, or things that are laying dormant in your bloodline. They love for you to be in that space, right? Things in your bloodline, you're exposing yourself. The devil loves for things to be dormant in your bloodline so he can use it. And you have to be careful. And one thing that I wanted to teach, you know, because everybody, I noticed, you know, when we talk about the spirit of Jezebel, right, that we just think we know, you know, who's a Jezebel. We just think we know who's operating in that spirit. But what you got to know is that is nothing that you can point to somebody and tell them you're Jezebel, right? You can't point to somebody and be like, you're Jezebel, you're a witch. You got to come out of there, witchcraft, you know, all the way around. You can't just point to somebody and say you're a witch. Because let me tell you how that don't work. It don't work because the thing about the spirit of witchcraft is that it has to be revealed. It's nothing that you could point out and somebody's going to accept it and be like, I'm a witch. You know, I'm going to get myself delivered. No, it don't work like that. It's like you have to be in a space with God that He can trust you. He can trust that he can show you yourself, right? You have to be in such a relationship with God, such a honest relationship with God, that he can turn that mirror to you, reveal yourself, a revelation. We talk about revelation all the time. God give me revelation. God give me wisdom. God give me insight. But what if God gives you revelation and insight to yourself? You know, we need to ask God, honestly, to give us insight and revelation to ourselves, right? That we understand What is laying dormant and what is operating within us? That's what we need to ask, right? God, give me revelation. I want y'all to pray. Whoever's going to watch the replay, you know, of this, and who's watching now, I want you to honestly go into your prayer and your prayer time and ask God to reveal this, reveal yourself to you, right? Because that's the only way, you know, if you're operating in this or you're feeling these things that I've been explaining about being just controlling, manipulative, things got to be your way, right? Going to certain measures, going to extremes to make something happen. Right? These are signs that something is off and you're not letting God take control. You're not making God, Lord Jesus, Lord over your life. It becomes a problem. So then you ask God, God, reveal me to me, right? Reveal me to me. And that's how I got delivered, right? I made that space and was seeking God so much that I was able to have him reveal me to me. And that's how it was discovered. And I can explain exactly how it happened or how it felt when that deliverance happened was that in the Bible, and it's in Kings, right? That they pushed Jezebel out the window, right? Jezebel got pushed out the window and she fell. Blood splattered everywhere. I could tell you when I got delivered from that spirit, that's how it felt. Not naturally so, but it felt like that spirit died, right? Like it was dead. Like it, like God was trying to, when he at the time was trying to kill it when I was walking to the altar, right? And I was trying to hold back my deliverance. It's like it died. It fell, right? Like, oh my goodness, I'm this new person, right? So now that I've got delivered from that spirit, I was able to heal. You know, heal in a way where I can love genuinely, love everybody, right? Genuinely and wholeheartedly, I had to heal. And so I had this whole teaching, right? Talking about Jezebel. I don't know if I even want to go to it, through it, but the connection of it, you know, just because people just, when you hear Jezebel, you just automatically think of automatic witch, right? You know, you forget that Jezebel, you know, was a queen, right? And the thing about how the spirit gets activated is that, and that's why God wanted me to come out of agreement with her in order to come into an agreement with this call and this covenant. It's because what happens when you have this spirit is that it waits for a seat of authority. A Jezebel can't operate on its own without a seat of authority. It needs, you know, so Jezebel wasn't a queen. Jezebel couldn't do all that she could do if she wasn't a queen. If she didn't have that seat of authority, she couldn't do all that she could do, right? So Jezebel had the authority because that was in her bloodline. She worshiped the spirit of Baal, right? That was her god. That was her idol worship. And the thing is with her and King Ahab, and again, he was wicked, right? So there were things going on in Ahab's bloodline. His father before Omri, he was wicked, right? So you got these people, he's wicked. He already has the door open for anybody, the demonic, to come in and take reign. And here comes Queen Jezebel, makes a queen. Right. So now he's given her a seat of authority to go and turn God's people away from him, away from God. Right. She's taking God's people and trying to turn them away from God. And then she tries to kill the prophet. She tries to kill, you know, she kills the messengers that's delivering the word of God because she wants everybody to worship her God because that's in her bloodline. Right? Remember what I said in the beginning, the plans that the enemy had for me was to pervert me in so much that I was idolizing marriage so much that his thing was he wanted me to influence women to be that independent woman that would try to manipulate themselves into a covenant, right? Leading them away from God, leading them from the voice of God, right? I thank God for saving me from a fiery hell, right? Because that's where I was going. If I were to continue in the footsteps that he had for me. And, you know, that was the root of Jezebel. You know, everybody, when you say Jezebel, people want to gasp. People want to be like, oh my God. But she had a past too in the history. It was in her bloodline, right? It was in her bloodline. She couldn't do nothing, nothing opposite of what her bloodline was calling her to do. And the thing is that what would have broke that, because God gave her the opportunity to repent. She had time to turn around. God was trying to save her. Listen, but her thing is she refused to repent. She was on a mission. Listen, sometimes these Jezebels be on a mission, because I was on a mission to get married, to be whole, and to like, hey, this is, I'm coming after marriage. I'm idolizing marriage, and this is what's going to fix my life. And it didn't. So when all my manipulating and controlling efforts began and it failed, it brought me low, right? It brought me low into dealing with myself and dealing what was going on, you know, generationally. So it's, yeah. So I just wanted to, I was here for a while. I told you I was going to sit here for a while. Because my thing is, and I had a lot more, but it's more so of teaching about Jezebel, because the spirit is so subtle. And I think people think they know if they're dealing with it or not. You don't, because it gets chalked up to our personality. Like, that's my personality, or that's just her. And, you know, we have to be careful. And this is just not a woman. Men could be witches, the Jezebels and stuff, you know. And it's funny, God talks to me before I get on here, you know, days before. And he was just telling me about, you know, this is odd, about pimps, right? He said, you know, those are warlocks, right? You know, because they're manipulating, you know, women's mind. They're changing and flipping and bending the mindsets of people. And that's the plan that the enemy had for me. He wanted me to bend the mindsets of people with the gifts that he's given me, you know, the wisdom that he had given me. I'm smart. You know, I got a way of think. I know how to think. I'm very, you know, just strategic in my thinking. And the enemy knew that, right? And wanted to pervert it. So I just wanted to get on here, and I really do pray that this would help someone to go into a self-discovery and a self-awareness of where you're at. This spirit is still rampant, even though we're not talking about it, it's still rampant, right? And I just want us to check, men and women, to check in places where you're a little, you know, controlling, or you're maybe obsessive in a certain part of life that you want to be at, or where you want to be at in life. And I admonish you to just ask God, right? Ask God what direction he has for your life. You know, take that time, you know, and I'm speaking to those that proclaim Christ, you know, right now. Ask God. And even if you don't, you know, proclaim Christ right now, and you're tempted to know Christ, right? I got something for you, because we about to close this out. To ask God, you know, what's the plan for your life? Because sometimes the enemy would love to get to you before you can have these conversations with God and, you know, about your life and the will for your life. And when it does get revealed to you, just know there are a lot of things that you've built up in life that he's going to have to cleanse out, right? It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of things that he's going to have to deal with you. You know, like I said, for me, it was control issues, manipulative, emotional things, healing, forgiveness. It was a lot of those things so I can operate in the way how he wants me to operate today. So I thank God. But I thank you guys for tuning in. And like I said, as I was on here a little long today, but on purpose. So I pray that this will bring deliverance to somebody. But, you know, you guys, now I got to do the Romans 10 and 9, because I'm not about to be on here talking about Jesus and I don't offer it, right? That was one thing that I promised God that I would do, you know, that I will always offer it to somebody. I don't have to You don't have to be on here with me. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to wait till Sunday because tomorrow is not promised. You know, so all you have to do is these things is to believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? That you want to receive him in your heart today as you are listening. If you're watching the replay, if you're watching now, even if you want to rededicate your life to God because you didn't got so far away from him that you like, God, where you at? You know, just to ensure that you have that place with him. That's all that you have to say. You know, it's not, and that's not saying you have to believe it in your heart, right? This has to be a real thing. Like God and took you so low. God and took you to the bottom. You tired of trying to figure out life on your own. Like, God, let me try your path. Let me see what you want me to do. Accept him. And that's all you have to do. And then to further go along with that, you know, find you a church to go to continue to get poured into. There's many stories that I've heard where people have encountered Christ, but after they encountered him, the devil is so quick to try to pervert their encounter that they're not getting information, that they're not getting educated on what you're feeling and how you're feeling and studying more of the word of God. And you need that direction. You still need direction, even though you've accepted Christ today. You know, you still need that direction. So, you know, my thing is, I hope that one day when it's time for me to go, that I can see this whole highlight reel of people that got saved and I've never seen them before, right? Just because I was obedient to God and obedient to giving people Christ anytime that I could, especially on here. You know, we're in a time where people do a lot of things online, you know, and say a lot of things, but give Christ, right? Everything but give Christ. Everything but give the opportunity for people to know Jesus, right? We just need to be more intentional. You know, I don't know what I'm saying, but you know, to be more intentional of doing that, being representatives of Christ. We could talk about him, but offer him to people, right? So I thank you guys for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, please rewatch this, rewatch the replay. It does stream live, or you can watch the replay on YouTube, on my YouTube channel at the Songs of My Emotions podcast. You can also catch the replay on Facebook, the Facebook channel or the Facebook page, the Songs of My Emotions podcast. Also, this will be uploaded on the Songs of My Emotions podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. So I thank you guys for tuning in, and you guys will catch me next week. Like I said, this testimony, I still feel like I missed some pieces. I mean, this is something that I will add on to as I talk to you guys, and I'm thankful for a testimony. Oh my God. I'm thankful that I have a testimony. How many of y'all can say that? I'm thankful that I can have a testimony, because I can't talk about Christ without him explaining how he's touched me and how he's touched my life. And if it works for me, it's going to work for y'all, right? I can't testify something that I don't know, something that I don't walk in. That's why we go through the things we go through. You know, we have to have a testimony. All right. See you guys later. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.